The Talking Bird, the Singing Tree, and the Golden Water. There was an emperor of Persia named Khosrow Shah, who, when he first came to his crown, in order to obtain a knowledge of affairs, took great pleasure in night excursions, attended by a trusty minister. He often walked in disguise through the city, and met with many adventures, one of the most remarkable of which happened to him upon his first ramble, which was not long after his accession to the throne of his father. After the ceremonies of his father's funeral rites and his own inauguration were over, the new sultan, as well from inclination as from duty, went out one evening, attended by his grand vizier, disguised like himself, to observe what was transacting in the city. As he was passing through a street in that part of the town, inhabited only by the meaner sort, he heard some people talking very loud, and going close to the house whence the noise proceeded, and looking through a crack in the door, perceived a light, and three sisters sitting on a sofa, conversing together after supper. By what the eldest said, he presently understood the subject of their conversation was wishes. "For," said she, "since we are talking about wishes, mine shall be to have the Sultan's baker for my husband, for then I shall eat my fill of that bread, which, by way of excellence, is called the Sultan's. Let us see if your tastes are as good as mine." "For my part," replied the second sister, "I wish I was wife to the Sultan's chief cook, for then I should eat of the most excellent dishes, and as I am persuaded that the Sultan's bread is common in the palace, I should not want any of that. Therefore you see," addressing herself to her eldest sister, "that I have a better taste than you." The youngest sister, who was very beautiful, and had more charms and wit than the two elder, spoke in her turn. "For my part, sisters," said she, "I shall not limit my desires to such trifles, but take a higher flight, and since we are upon wishing, I wish to be the emperor's queen consort. I would make him father of a prince, whose hair should be gold on one side of his head, and silver on the other. When he cried, the tears from his eyes should be pearls, and when he smiled, his vermilion lips should look like a rosebud fresh blown." The three sisters' wishes, particularly that of the youngest, seemed so singular to the Sultan that he resolved to gratify them in their desires. But without communicating his design to his grand vizier, he charged him only to take notice of the house, and bring the three sisters before him the following day. The grand vizier, in executing the emperor's orders, would but just give the sisters time to dress themselves to appear before his majesty, without telling them the reason. He brought them to the palace, and presented them to the emperor, who said to them, "Do you remember the wishes you expressed last night, when you were all in so pleasant a mood? Speak the truth. I must know what they were." At these unexpected words of the emperor, the three sisters were much confounded. They cast down their eyes and blushed, and the colour which rose in the cheeks of the youngest quite captivated the emperor's heart. Modesty and fear lest they might have offended by their conversation kept them silent. The emperor, perceiving their confusion, said to encourage them, "Fear nothing. I did not send for you to distress you, and since I see that without my intending it, this is the effect of the question I asked, as I know the wish of each, I will relieve you from your fears. You," added he, "who wish to be my wife, shall have your desire this day. And you," continued he, addressing himself to the two elder sisters, "shall also be married to my chief baker and cook." As soon as the Sultan had declared his pleasure, the youngest sister, setting her elders an example, threw herself at the emperor's feet to express her gratitude. "Sir," said she, "my wish, since it is come to your majesty's knowledge, was expressed only in the way of conversation and amusement. I am unworthy of the honour you do me, and supplicate your pardon for my presumption." The other two sisters would have excused themselves also, but the emperor, interrupting them, said, "No, no, it shall be as I have declared. The wishes of all shall be fulfilled." The nuptials were all celebrated that day, as the emperor had resolved, but in a different manner. The youngest sisters were solemnized with all the rejoicings usual at the marriages of the emperors of Persia, and those of the other two sisters according to the quality and distinction of their husbands, the one as the sultan's chief baker and the other as head cook. The two elder felt strongly the disproportion of their marriages to that of their younger sister. This consideration made them far from being content, though they were arrived at the utmost height of their late wishes, and much beyond their hopes. They gave themselves up to an excess of jealousy, which not only disturbed their joy, but was the cause of great trouble and affliction to the queen consort, their younger sister. They had not an opportunity to communicate their thoughts to each other on the preference the emperor had given her, but were altogether employed in preparing themselves for the celebration of their marriages. Some days afterward, when they had an opportunity of seeing each other at the public baths, the eldest said to the other, "Well, what say you to our sister's great fortune? Is not she a fine person to be a queen?"
"I must own," said the other sister, "I cannot conceive what charms the emperor could discover to be so bewitched by her. Was it a reason sufficient for him not to cast his eyes on you because she was somewhat younger? You were as worthy of his throne, and in justice he ought to have preferred you."
"Sister," said the elder, "I should not have regretted if his majesty had but pitched upon you, but that he should choose that little simpleton really grieves me. But I will revenge myself, and you, I think, are as much concerned as I. Therefore I propose that we should contrive measures and act in concert. Communicate to me what you think the likeliest way to mortify her, while I, on my side, will inform you what my desire of revenge shall suggest to me." After this wicked agreement, the two sisters saw each other frequently, and consulted how they might disturb and interrupt the happiness of the queen. They proposed a great many ways, but in deliberating about the manner of executing them, found so many difficulties that they durst not attempt them. In the meantime, with a detestable dissimulation, they often went together to make her visits, and every time showed her all the marks of affection they could devise to persuade her how overjoyed they were to have a sister raised to so high a fortune. The queen, on her part, constantly received them with all the demonstrations of esteem they could expect from so near a relative. Sometime after her marriage, the expected birth of an heir gave great joy to the queen and emperor, which was communicated to all the court, and spread throughout the empire. Upon this news, the two sisters came to pay their compliments, and proffered their services, desiring her, if not provided with nurses, to accept of them. The queen said to them most obligingly,
"Sisters, I should desire nothing more if it were in my power to make the choice. I am, however, obliged to you for your good will, but must submit to what the emperor shall order on this occasion. Let your husbands employ their friends to make interest, and get some courtier to ask this favour of his majesty, and if he speaks to me about it, be assured that I shall not only express the pleasure he does me, but thank him for making choice of you."
The two husbands applied themselves to some courtiers, their patrons, and begged of them to use their interest to procure their wives the honour they aspire to. Those patrons exerted themselves so much in their behalf that the emperor promised them to consider of the matter, and was as good as his word. For in conversation with the queen, he told her that he thought her sisters were the most proper persons to be about her, but would not name them before he had asked her consent. The queen, sensible of the deference the emperor so obligingly paid her, said to him,
"Sir, I was prepared to do as your majesty might please to command. But since you have been so kind as to think of my sisters, I thank you for the regard you have shown them for my sake, and therefore I shall not dissemble that I had rather have them than strangers."
The emperor, therefore, named the queen's two sisters to be her attendants, and from that time they went frequently to the palace, overjoyed at the opportunity they would have of executing the detestable wickedness they had meditated against the queen.